In Mike Bartlett's controversially titled new play, Cock, a man is forced to choose between two romantic partners vying for his affection. One, a man, the other, a woman. It won an Olivier Award when it ran in London, and it opened here to rave reviews at the Duke Theater on 42nd Street. I'm very pleased to welcome two of its stars, Amanda Quaid and Jason Butler Harner, along with its director, James McDonald, to our show today. Hello.
Hello.
James, this play does have an alternative title, The Cockfight Play. Why use the shorter one? Because it's more provocative?
Well, the shorter one is the proper title. And it's provocative, but it's also playful, I think. It's got
Although some newspapers, the New York Times won't print it.
Yeah, so I gather.
But that wasn't a problem when you directed it in London?
Not at all, no. It may be that we're slightly more liberal about plays with rude titles.
Mm-hmm. Well, we had a play, a very good play here.
With a hat in it.
Yes, with a hat in it. And I had a real problem with that one when we had some of the people from it on our show, because I can't say it here either. I couldn't say that title either. I can say this one. Jason, can you give us a short synopsis of the plot? Is it, in a way, a traditional romantic triangle story, but with a twist?
I would say it's a pretty traditional triangle in terms of one man loving two people at the same time and having to make a decision but being completely incapable. And then we add a father in the mix there. I just want to say we're so excited. This is the first time we actually get to say the name of the play at all in anything we've done, so we're so happy.
You mean you don't say it on stage, so...
Well, we do say it on stage, but because of in the press and things in the newspapers, you say we haven't been able to say it anywhere, so I'm so excited.
It's one of the few words the FCC does allow us to say.
Oh,
Amanda, you and Jason play characters called W and M, respectively. I'm assuming that's short for woman and man.
I assume so.
But you're vying for the affections of John, played by Corey Michael Smith. He gets a name.
Right, he gets a name. We sort of, I guess it means that we stand for sort of universal figures.
I think that's probably true. And then there's F, who is the father, as you said. Yeah.
Now, did the playwright Mike Bartlett tell anyone here why he named his characters that way?
Well, John is another little playful pun, probably, isn't it, in the circumstances. So I think he was just being, just amusing himself. And also, just not wanting to get into a realistic drama. I think the setting out point for him in writing this play was to get away from the trappings of realism and write something that was just about the kind of emotional struggle between a small group of people.
Did he come here for rehearsals?
He was able to be here for a week, and then he just recently came back with his family, which was really nice to be able to celebrate him.
Now, do you like talking to the playwright about what his intentions were?
Yes, on this it was very helpful, because he's written the play with no stage directions and no character descriptions, and really it's like a Rubik's Cube or something. You have to be putting it together all the time like a puzzle. So having him there was very helpful to give us a bit of a guide.
The play's alternative title, The Cockfight Play, is really quite descriptive of the action of the play, which takes place on a small round stage surrounded by five rows of concentric wooden bleachers. Is the space designed to look like a cockfight ring?
It's one of the things we looked at when we were designing it, yeah. Mike wrote the play actually sitting in a cafe in Mexico City, so he was probably also thinking about bullfights. And we looked at lots of sports arenas. It felt like if there wasn't going to be a set, and that was prohibited by the author, then it would be great to have some kind of arena that worked well for an audience and heightened the sense of fighting.
Well, this was originally produced at the Royal Court Theatre in London, a traditional theater, and doesn't the Duke normally have conventional theater seats? How was that worked out? Were those bleacher seats constructed especially for this production?
They were, at huge, lavish expense by Stuart Thompson Productions.
That's why the prices for tickets are so high.
Reasonable offers are apparently available.
But they're made out of plywood.
It's a
cushion. There's a little cushion to give you a little help.
But what it does is it forces the audience to really sit forward and pitch their energy down towards us. It gives it the energy of really being a live event.
It is a spectator sport, yeah. For real.
Yeah. Well, the staging is unusual in that the characters circle each other, approach them, move away from each other, and do it very close to the audience.
Yes.
In fact, at times it's impossible to watch the play without watching members of the audience.
Yeah.
Right. And they're fully lit, too.
And that's another thing. It was decided that the house lights wouldn't go down when the play is being performed.
When we were originally figuring it out, we felt that if there wasn't going to be set or costume, or actually costume wasn't a given, but we figured out there wasn't going to be costume. And then we figured out there really couldn't be light, so the light shouldn't be theatre light. So we went for using fluorescent light, which, of course, just inevitably goes all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
And then we realized once we got in the theatre that it was a huge asset when you're doing this play and you're wanting to heighten the sense of a fight that the audience are very visible and that their energies are part of the event.
Well, you said that there was an attempt to not make this a totally realistic play.
Yeah.
So there's no set, no props. That gets away from realism, but... But the lines you say are the kinds of lines that people would say in these circumstances, aren't they?
Yeah. I mean, you just
so
don't...
it's not totally unrealistic.
No, it's not. It's sort of heightened in a way, I guess you'd say, and then at the same time reductive because there's no. You suddenly realize in the middle of a scene, oh, they're making dinner, or oh, they're packing a bag, or what
the audience has to put that together. There are a couple lines that are really interesting because they refer to thoughts and words as physical things. So there's a great line that John has. He says something, and he says, "There it is on the floor. Look at it, that thing I just said between us." And you realize that in this world, words and thoughts can be actually as tangible as furniture. And the audience is putting it together in their imagination the whole time.
My guests are Amanda Quaid and Jason Butler Harner, two of the stars of a new play, at least in New York, called Cock, which is at the Duke Theater on 42nd Street. And with us also is its director, James McDonald, who directed it in London as well with a different cast.
Yeah.
At times, Amanda, you're standing almost toe-to-toe with the audience members in the front row. Is this the closest you've ever been to an audience while you performed?
Absolutely.
I'm assuming it's the same for you, Jason.
Well, I did. I played the stage manager in Our Town for a little while, so it was pretty close as well. But I wasn't so close to people and on an emotional level that I am in this play. So it's much more vulnerable.
Well,
in this situation
in Our Town, you moved back and forth. You moved through the audience, but here you're practically on the audience at times.
Yeah.
Is that a disconcerting experience for an actor to be so close to the audience, especially when you're speaking about the details of intimate relationships?
It's only disconcerting when there's silly things that happen, like candy wrappers and hearing aids that are beeping and things like that. But mostly that being so physically close to someone but not acknowledging them and acting is – I find it an incredible high, actually. I mean, it holds you up to a standard of being that much more truthful.
We should point out that everyone remains fully clothed. Actions are described rather than performed.
Yes.
Do you think that, as someone who works in radio, I often think about whether that can be more powerful than actually seeing something done?
Absolutely.
I'd say so.
I definitely think so.
I mean, I think sex in theater is very often counterproductive because the moment you take clothes off, the audience stops paying any attention to anything except actors' bodies. So the way that Mike's written this play consciously allows him to do a more playful and provocative and graphic, actually, sex scene than you otherwise could do.
Have you talked to audience members over the course of the two runs? How do they react to being in such close proximity to the actors? Are they warned that they're going to be... in some cases, being right next to them when they buy their tickets?
I think word gets around, but yes, for some people, inevitably, as it was for someone we met last night, it's a shock. You realize when you sit down what kind of evening you may have in front of you.
And the tickets say latecomers will not be admitted. I'm assuming that's because it's necessary to walk through the stage area to get to their seats.
Yes, it's just a huge wooden O with these two VOMs, so it's pretty prohibitive in that way. But you look out and you just see all of these faces. That was one thing we had to adjust to, Leonard, that was so funny, which is that you're acting with someone, and of course, when you're acting with somebody, behind them is a wall of faces that you would, it would not be best to paying any attention to, but they can sometimes be distracting.
Well, unlike some experimental theater works, audience members aren't pulled onto the stage and asked to participate here. They're just participating by their very presence.
Yeah. Absolutely. And their bloodthirstiness.
but just by being visible to audience members across from them, does everyone become more conscious of their own reactions to what's happening on the stage?
I would say definitely.
I think so. And they feed us also. And at this point in the run, where we've been doing it now almost 3 months, having their responses so close to us and so visible, it helps fuel our responses as well and keep it fresh.
In the course of the play, John feels he's being asked to define himself as either gay or straight. Do you think the play is about sexual orientation, or is it about how sometimes those definitions don't apply?
I think it's about all of us have in ourselves at least two forces that seem to be opposing each other, that live in us as mutually exclusive wants. And I was out there the other night, and I thought this play is in a way about having those polarities get together and fight. You could say that the cockfight ring is a representation of John's mind. So of course it is about sexual identity, but it's also about the way we fight within ourselves for who we want to be.
Jason, you said in interviews you've had personal experience in this area. How do you bring that real life experience into your performance?
Well, it sort of just walks in the door with me, unfortunately, a little bit. I mean, I think that in this instance, since I'm the one vying for his male-male affection, I'm more focused on the potential loss of that love. And for John, because they've been together for 7 years, the dawning realization that this relationship needs to change or it is going to go away is much more painful than anything else.
Did you make any changes when you moved the play to New York?
Couple of little lines, but very little.
Well, it's performed with British accents, although all the cast members are Americans.
Absolutely, yeah.
Did you consider doing it with American accents, or does the language of the play, which includes some British slang, dictate the choice of accents? Could it have been rewritten in order to sound right in American, like God of Carnage was?
I did hear it done that way a little bit when I was auditioning for it, and my instinct was that there's a very British, ironic tone to the writing, specifically for this play, and that we should honor that.
You, Jason, you also do a lot of television?
I've done some television, yeah.
Living in New York now, you can do a lot more theater and television than you could have in the past.
That's true. I mean, we're always fighting to keep our television production here, but yes, you definitely can. In fact, our dad is going to play something in Persons of Interest this week, as a matter of fact. But it's good. I just finished a series called Alcatraz that was just ran for 1 year that was up in Vancouver, which is another beautiful city. But I missed my New York theater, that's for sure, while I was away.
What about you, Amanda?
I've done pretty much only theater. And this is actually one of the first modern plays I've done where I get to wear clothing like I would wear every day.
Well, didn't you grow up in California?
No, I grew up in New York in Greenwich Village, yeah.
Is this an open run?
I believe it finishes in October.
Oh, well, we still have some time to watch it.
Summer.
The play opened in May, and tickets are being sold into October. And then I assume you move on to other things.
Yes.
You go. Are you here for the full run, or
no,
do you go back to London?
No, it's a fluke. I'm here. I'm here for 2 days, and then I'm back in London rehearsing a play. So just passing through at this point.
And what happens to the Duke Theatre? Do the bleachers get removed and move back to?
They're retractable. They're just sitting in a corner of the room waiting for their moment.
Under a tarp.
We're discussing who's going to get custody of them after the show.
But meanwhile, you this has to be a unique experience for you because
amazing.
Of the special circumstances.
Absolutely amazing.
Of this production.
Yeah, absolutely amazing. I mean, because the script is so incredibly visceral and full. It's absolutely fantastic to play. But then this creation that they've made, this ring and its tightness and this group energy all in one just combustible form, it's really fun to play. I love doing it, and we have this amazing cast, so I'm really just very, very happy to be doing it.
I'd imagine that people who are buying tickets will be concerned about whether they're sitting close or a little further back. And you get a choice, don't you?
I think at the moment of purchase, you get a choice.
So forewarned is forearmed.
Yeah. The fifth row, you get to lean back. Fourth through first, sit up high and look forward.
My great thanks to Jason Butler-Harner, Amanda Quaid, two of the stars, along with Corey Martin Smith and Cotter Smith of Cock, now at the Duke Theater on 42nd Street. And also, of course, to the director of this production, James McDonald. It's been a pleasure talking with you all.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.